for America, from Hoboken to Spokane. The Star Spangled Band, we the plan.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe. The very first Iron Man movie opened the doors for the recent collection of Marvel movies and showed us how fascinating it would be to create an entire universe of movies that would be linked with one another. Now, sure, this was very common with the comic books, but I don't know about you guys, I thought that this would never happen on the big screen. Now, almost an entire decade later, we've seen how Marvel Cinematic Universe has become part of our lives and how a snap can make us cry. But that's more about the recent history. What about the very original Avenger, at least according to the movies? We're going to be going all the way back to 1943 to talk about 2011's Captain America, The First Avenger, and another exciting episode of A Cast to the Past. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that we publish a brand new episode each and every Sunday where we talk about movies, video games, and those things from the 90s, 2000s that we absolutely love. My name is Juan Velas. I am from San Juan, Puerto Rico. And joining me as always, first we have from London, Ontario, Keith M. Poscha. Keith, I got a question
That's
for
me.
You, buddy.
Okay.
Where does the Captain America movie rank among all of the different Marvel movies that you've seen? That's a big question, I know.
It's really high up there. That is a really big question. There's a lot of those Marvel movies these days, but I would have to put it on my low end of the top 10, maybe around 6 or 7.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
That sounds about right.
It's a lot higher for me.
I love the Captain America movies. I would say that the sequel to this movie is number one on my list. I love the Captain America movies.
Okay, you redeem yourself, buddy, because from Boston, Massachusetts, we have Ryan, also M. McNulty. And Ryan, in your case, what's your take on Captain America, the actual character? Not talking about the movie, but the man with the red, white, and blue, with the shield, with the powers. What do you think of him?
I would say Captain America is the most traditional of the Avengers. He's very much just the all-American guy who wants to fight and support his country, and he happens to come into a situation that allows him to do so. But he's very much, he is the Superman of the Marvel Universe, at least in my opinion. He is just that prototypical hero.
Mm-hmm. If to go into wrestling terms for a second, if you want a definition of white meat babyface, it is Steve Rogers.
If you want the John Cena of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and a John Cena that you can see, I mean, his name is definitely Captain America. And I'm happy that we're getting a chance to talk about this because this is the most recent thing we've ever covered on the show. I mean, this movie came out in 2011. Which is still crazy to think about, the fact that it's not that old, all things considered, but not that new at the same time. It's kind of like in the middle there. I mean, in just a little while, it's going to be about a decade since that movie came out, but so many Marvel movies have come out, and I remember that very first Iron Man one, and I feel like we need to talk about it in just a second, because it laid the groundwork. I think that that first movie showed, hey, what if Marvel actually does this entire thing where we have the Hulk movie, Iron Man, Thor, but eventually everybody comes together and it makes sense. We got the Justice League movie, which, I mean, that can be a topic in itself, and the reception for that was not great. And I think that's what happens when you try to mention a lot of things at the same time, but each one hasn't had their chance to shine. What did you guys think about that first Iron Man movie?
I mean, I thought it was very good and a great way to start things off. They owe everything basically to Robert Downey Jr. because he sold the Iron Man character, a character that a lot of people, including myself, were not very familiar with. And now Iron Man is a household name. He's among the top superheroes as far as popularity goes. So it really came down to if that movie didn't work, the rest of it was just not going to happen. And Iron Man 1 was a very well done movie. I think they developed the villains pretty well. And like I said, Robert Downey Jr., he is Tony Stark. He made that character what it is. And that set things off on a pretty crazy path with a lot of dollar signs for movie companies.
Jesus,
and
no kidding.
Marvel.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly, Ryan. If that Iron Man movie, that first one, would have failed, we would not have what we have today. And it's honestly kind of nice to go back to these first few Marvel movies, because as they went on, the stakes just got higher and higher and higher. And there's just something so pure about the original Iron Man, even the first Thor, the Captain America, the first Avengers, everything before that first Avengers movie. Just the stakes were, they were high, but not like the entire world is at stake high.
Because you were still getting to know the characters and the people portraying them. Like when you go to DC, when you think about Batman, everybody's always got a favorite Batman, whether it be Christian Bale, you want to go all the way back. And if it's George Clooney, then you and I cannot be friends. But when you think about these movies, right, like I think Ryan hit the nail on the head with Robert Downey Jr. Like he is Tony Stark, from the personality to the acting to the facial expressions. And going into Captain America, I mean, talking about the equivalent of Superman, right? Casting this is no easy feat. And I remember, I don't know if you guys recall, but when it was first rumored that it was going to be Chris Evans, the feedback was very mixed. Because remember, I mean, he was in this movie. Have you ever heard of the Fantastic Four? I heard that was a thing at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a thing.
I didn't really bother with that. But you know where I knew Chris Evans from? I believe he's in Not Another Teen Movie. I think he's one of the main characters in that. And that's where I knew him from. So I didn't see Fantastic Four. So
good.
It didn't really ruin my perception of him. I was like, oh, you know, you switch it to the blonde hair instead of the darker hair, and it works. I could totally see it.
Yeah, but it's becoming this iconic character. Like, think about Ben Affleck, right? I mean, that's probably the best example of a short-lived Batman that even he himself is kind of like, well, certain things didn't really work, but look at all this that worked. You know, it's the casting choices between Iron Man, Captain America, Ant-Man, Thor, everything meshed so well that for me, as I went back to this movie, because what Keith mentioned, there's like a simple aspect to this. You know, up until this point, we haven't seen every single character. We don't know who's being cast years down the line. We haven't seen the first Avengers movie. Here we just have Chris Evans playing Captain America, and he feels like Captain America. He doesn't feel like he's being fed the lines. It felt like the origin story, the way they told the story of Steve Rogers, was so well done that easily, and this is why I asked you, Keith, like, where does this movie sort of rank around maybe your top 10? I think the Captain America movies, with the exception of Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, and Infinity War, these have to be my top three movies just because they blend so well together. You got the comedy, but you also have the emotion, but you have the action. So many great things about it. But before that, Kingdom Hearts and video games has this convoluted chronology that people are still trying to figure that out today. And in the movie universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is probably that. But
I went somewhere,
okay. But Keith, talk to us about, this is the official one, so this is not our opinion. According to Marvel, this is the chronological order in the time and events that happened within the cinematic universe.
Exactly. When you really look at it, a lot happens in a very short amount of time, with the exception of the movie that we're talking about today, Captain America: The First Avenger. That takes place between 1943 and 1945. Then we jump ahead nearly 50 years to 2010, and that's when the first Iron Man happens. A year later, we get Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, and Thor. Then into 2012, that's when things really start picking up. We have both Iron Man 3 and The Avengers. Into 2013, only one movie, Thor: The Dark World. And then 2014 is probably the busiest year in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where you have Captain America: Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Those Guardians were busy that year, holy.
Yeah.
Then on to 2015, you have The Avengers: The Age of Ultron and Ant-Man. 2016 is Captain America: Civil War and Spider-Man: Homecoming. 2016 into 2017, you know, those late months, those early months, is Doctor Strange. And then finally in 2017, we have Black Panther, Thor Ragnarok, and Avengers Infinity War.
So it's worth pointing out that with this one, they have not added Captain Marvel and Ant-Man and the Wasp. So at some point, they're going to be adding those, but that is the order. So when Keith says Guardians of the Galaxy and the second one taking place in the same year, obviously those movies didn't come out in the same year, but in the time period of when those events took place, I mean, that's exactly when it happened. Now, just to know where we all are with Captain America, kicking it off first with Keith, talking about Marvel characters, who's your favorite character and why?
I would say it's either a tie between Thor and Captain America. I'm very into Captain America's style of just loyal to a fault, doing the right thing to a fault. I think it makes a good superhero because, especially around the time of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we've seen this whole uprising in rebellious superheroes where they're all flawed and nobody's perfect, kind of the anti-Superman, because there was such a negative reception to the original Superman, that Captain America is kind of the antithesis of all that. Like, yes, he has faults, but that's his loyalty. That's because he believes in what he believes in so strongly. And almost for the exact opposite reasons, Thor is right up there as well, just because that's more about the movies than the actual character itself, where I love almost all the movies that Thor is involved in. I love the pace of them. I love the style. Just him coming with a giant hammer, throwing lightning down. That's what I like to see in a superhero. Just all the over-the-top stuff. So yeah, those two.
For me, I would probably say Spider-Man. I really like what they've done since Spider-Man Homecoming. So I know he's only in two of the movies at this point. But Spider-Man Homecoming, man, that movie is, that's my favorite Marvel movie. I think it's like perfect. And then I also like the Hulk. The Hulk is normally a pretty unlikable character. They've historically done a poor job with him, but basically ever since Mark Ruffalo took over, Hulk's been really fun.
If you would have asked me this question after the first Avengers came out, I would have said Hulk, no question. But in the other Marvel movies, I'll even go as far as saying even in Infinity War, they kind of have fumbled the Hulk a little bit. They just haven't been able to recapture that magic that they had in the first Avengers movie with him.
And one of the big deals is when you compare the character in his standalone movie versus in the Avengers movies, because I think the Hulk, out of everybody, has had the roughest time in the solo movies, but then you bring him to the Avengers and it's like, hey,
yeah,
people
actually
like
you. I think they learned
like
their lesson. There's a reason there hasn't been a Hulk solo movie since, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I think there's some legality behind it where they actually can't make a Hulk movie.
That's
why he's only
he works so much better as like a support hero than a main hero.
Absolutely. And for me, just to quickly recap, my favorite character has to be first Wolverine. If we're just talking about Marvel as a whole, for obvious reasons, Wolverine hasn't been involved in a lot of this. It would suck to have him show up now, knowing all of the things that could have been added, you know, way back in the day.
But
they can hit the reset button. It'll happen eventually. Marvel makes a lot of movies, makes a lot of money, but I love Iron Man because he's so charming, and the fact that he doesn't have any powers, he has a logical reason for having the thing that he has.
He's their Batman.
So he can actually, their Batman, but he has to be able to live, right? Like, unless he has the technology, Batman is just out there to get revenge and to help people. Iron Man has a logical reason behind his technology, but how he has the personality of, well, I already have a suit. What about a Hulkbuster? What about this other one? Adding a little bit of style to that. I feel like Batman does have that style in the DC part, but I think that Iron Man just gets a little bit over. That being said, first Iron Man movie, awesome. 2 and 3, Let's not talk about that because we're here to talk about
three wasn't I haven't bad. Seen them. Should I bother?
three is, if you want to go deep in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, three is worth a watch.
I know bad, but I really want to see Mickey Rourke with his lightning stuff. Is it not worth
it? It's a.
I guess it's
if
worth
you
it.
Wanna, I don't know. It's the equivalent of not looking away from a train wreck. It's not. It's not pretty, I but just, you can't take
I,
your
I
eyes
off. I think I just need to
it.
Marathon everything. One,
exactly.
One,
just,
take a vacation
just
and just like sit on a couch and not move for 3 days. It'd probably take me more than 3 days.
Oh yeah,
at this point,
it would take you a lot.
For sure. God, the testosterone you would endure in that.
Oof! Just think about that. With that being said, though, Mr. Poshik. What is Captain America the First Avenger all about, my friend?
So there's this gentleman named Steve Rogers. He's a bit of a pipsqueak, and that was really weird to go back and look at, like a small Steve Rogers. And he's trying to get into the army, because right now, during the period of 1943 to 1945, the world's at war. You might even call it a world war. The second one. And he's wants to fight for America. He wants to do what's right. He wants to kill some Nazis, and the army won't let him in. Why? Because he's a bit of a pipsqueak. So they find a way to solve that in the most extreme way possible, and he turns into Captain America through a super soldier serum. And then, yeah, he starts out as a bit of a promotional tool, a marketing tool, and then he becomes the Captain America that we see today.
So that's why I love this character. I mentioned that Iron Man is my overall favorite, but the actual origin story of Captain America is fascinating because it's this guy that he's watched, you know, people try to save the world, but he knows he is not exactly all about that because of his stature, of his size. You know, he's a cowardly guy from a physical standpoint, but from an emotional one, you can tell he wants to be a hero. All of a sudden, he's given the opportunity. So what happens when you mix brains and brawns together and you get him, but they kind of misuse him? But he's so humble. He's by far, like, we're talking about the first movie. You know, things do change a little bit as time goes on. But with the first one, he's so damn likable. I think he is the most likable superhero, considering he's in the same level as Superman. Okay, Ryan, you're giving me looks. why is that?
Well, because I'll put it this way. Okay, is he the nicest? Is he the most noble of the Avengers? Yes, but I don't find him as likable because he's not as interesting as the other Avengers to me. I feel like Steve Rogers, his character in this didn't really have an arc that I found very fascinating. It was, he starts as this like little guy, and of course, because he's a little guy, he has to compensate for that with, you know, being a good person. I guess that's how it works. And then once he becomes Captain America, I really don't feel like he struggles that much. Sure, he doesn't get into the army right away, but I feel like it's pretty much, once he's Captain America and he's all jacked up, like, it's pretty much smooth sailing. Everything kind of goes his way, except for his friend dying. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I kind of disagree.
I don't feel like there was as much struggle, like, with him actually. Once he became the super soldier, I felt like there wasn't that much struggle for his character.
Well, there wasn't much physical struggle, but it all came from an emotional perspective.
But, like, what was his internal struggle?
He had no luck with the ladies. Yeah, all of a sudden he was strong. But if you notice, even though he was strong, they were still using him. So, hypothetically, let's say that, you know, not only augmented his physical strength, but everything else, he would have immediately gone like, I don't want to be a promotional tool. I want to go to war. But guess what? He did actually just become a promotional tool. He became every little thing that he didn't want to be.
You know, Ryan, it was like five minutes, after that 5 minutes, he gets dropped down behind enemy lines and comes back with an entire army. And then it's like, okay, let's
that's
go.
That's true, but he's had to fight to get to that point. It's kind of the whole, yeah, okay, you're a science experiment. You're not everything you say you are. Even though all he ever wanted to do was fight, all he ever wanted to do was be on the front line, he went through this experiment, he went through this project to get there, and then the country was kind of like, the country kind of turned their back on him until he proved himself. Like, this is a guy that's Captain America, that America kind of turned on.
I don't really feel that America turned on him. It was only like the soldiers had not yet accepted him, but like I said, by the midpoint of the movie, pretty much he comes back with an army and everyone's on board. And like, I don't feel like there was enough like internal dilemma. And I know they definitely explore his character much further later. And I do need to go and see the other Captain America movies. I do want to. I just felt in this movie, I didn't feel enough from his character. Yeah, there was the stuff between like him and Agent Carter, but it's like, okay, he makes out with Natalie Dormer for like 2 minutes. And then like, that was like their only kind of falling out. I don't know. I felt like they could have done better in some places. Like, I think aside from Iron Man and like Avengers, Phase One is a little rocky and so like they're kind of getting the hang of things.
Well, they're figuring it out. Yeah.
But like you look at a lot of the movies in Phase Three, like the newer movies, and like I think they've really hit their stride and they know how to handle a lot of these movies. So I felt like
they only had like 20 to figure it out.
See, I feel like if Captain America came out before Iron Man, we would not have the same success for the Marvel Universe. Like, I don't think this is a bad movie, but I don't think it's like, I don't think it's great. I think it's just good. Like, it's passable.
I think the best way to describe my thoughts on it are it's less about a struggle going on with Steve Rogers, where Steve Rogers, the man finding his place. It's more about Captain America proving the name Captain America, where it starts out as a promotional tool and they do the whole thing with the soldiers like, oh, you're not Captain America, you suck kind of thing. And then he goes on to prove that he's Captain America. It's building the superhero more than the man, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's along the lines where I was kind of going, because yeah, the Captain America part is pretty straightforward because it's Steve Rogers becomes Captain America. And then, yeah, he has a couple of conflicts, you know, love interests. He has a little bit of trouble with the ladies. But I think the bigger picture of this is how do they use Captain America in a movie? Like, don't forget that we've gotten great superhero movies before this. So I think this one had a lot to test out or to try out with the action scenes, which I thought were great. You know, how do they use the shield? How do they deal with the costume and the fact that they did an excellent job parodying the original costume? And even though, yeah, he kind of became a sidekick, like a theater act, they were able to incorporate the costume in that. And then seeing how he actually became a comic book character in the movie. Now, I do feel like we got to mention that the three of us were not exactly comic book freaks. So there may be, and there's probably like a lot of differences between the comic books and the movies, but we're talking about the movie. And the movie,
yes,
he becomes a comic book character. He becomes an actor. He becomes a joke, but then they take it all the way back. And then he proves himself, right? When he sees like, hey, I want to actually go out there all by myself. You know, even when I was Steve Rogers, that a fake grenade was thrown out and nobody believed in me. I actually sacrificed my body. And it's the matter that we talk about war in a comedic sense sometimes in the movies, but Steve Rogers wanted to really fight for America. So I feel like we're quickly overlooking the name Captain America because that's the superhero we're used to. But Steve Rogers really believed in what later he became. You know, he became a big deal superhero. Ryan, I felt like you wanted to react to that.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't find him that interesting because I feel like the entire movie, it was, I'm the good guy who wants to do good. And I don't feel like that was ever challenged in any way. Like, he was never met, I don't feel like he was ever met with like a tough decision. I think he always was just like, I'm the good guy that needs to do good, so I'm going to do the good thing.
You haven't watched, sorry to interrupt, you haven't watched the other two Captain America movies,
I know, like I said, I know they definitely go into things differently. I've heard a lot about Civil War and all that, so I'm glad they get there someday.
But
I feel like this movie could have done with one thing where, like, maybe Captain America does something that a lot of people didn't agree with, but in the end it ended up being the good thing, but it was like a tougher decision to make. But it just felt like,
hello,
like
Captain America Civil Wars plot. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, I'm glad they get there, but they could have done a mini one, like something else besides just, I'm the good guy and I'm going to do the good thing all the time. That's why I thought he wasn't that interesting.
It does raise an interesting conversation where I totally see where you're coming from, Ryan, but it's almost, where do you start just like reviewing this movie on its own, criticizing it on its own, and where do you throw it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Because I think all of your points are valid looking at this movie on its own as a standalone product. But when you throw it into the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, at least where we're at when we're recording this show, you don't get Marvel Captain America Civil War. You don't get Winter Soldier if you don't take this movie and build Captain America into this, like I called him earlier, white meat babyface, who is just so bent on doing what he think is right to a fault, which is what they explore later in the Captain America movie.
I think they should have just done a little bit more with that. Because you can look, you can look at Iron Man, and I think that it works in the universe and it stands on its own. Spider-Man Homecoming works in the universe and it stands on its own. Obviously, something like Infinity War does not stand on its own, but that's because, you know, the Avengers movies are culminations of everything. So I'm not saying they needed to really deviate from it. I was just looking for a little bit of something, a little bit of from him that was, you know, even just tease it a little bit before you get to Civil War or whatever. That's all I'm saying.
Something I wanted to mention here is Keith brought up an interesting point. Whenever we talk about movies, even in this show, there is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, even Marvel themselves branded it in such a way that to watch X movie, you got to watch B, and then Y, and then Z, and then M. You got to go through all of that. So even though Marvel does have their television shows, which, you know, chronologically speaking, those are a little bit more finicky, these are almost extended television shows because they expect you, right? Like with other movies, you can kind of watch one and the other, whether it be Mission Impossible, and they stand on its own because there are familiar characters going back. But with these movies, there's going to be key plot holes that you get in Captain America that pay off in Thor, that pay off in this, and that pay off in that. And then the ultimate thing is Infinity War, but then what happens after? But then Spider-Man Homecoming here is on the side, and that seems crazy, but that is the world that Marvel chose to build. And it's fascinating because think of this as a little kid. Did you ever think that superheroes would become such a convoluted thing on the big screen? Like, this isn't like they've far exceeded pop culture. I feel like whenever you talk about movies, at some point during the year, there's almost always a Marvel movie at some point in the theater, right? It feels weird when there's not an upcoming movie. So more so than movie culture, it's just a part of culture that this has become. What do you guys think about that? Or bonus question, because I know this leads to something where Ryan is going to come to. And I know we're kind of deviating from Captain America, but I feel it's a necessary conversation. This can lead to burnout. It's a little too much. And Ryan mentioned this is just getting started with Captain America. And unless somebody like him goes all the way through all of them to get the payoff, it may or may not be worth it. So, Keith, what do you think about this entire movie experience? And then, Ryan, do you think somebody can burn out as a result?
Well, I find the Marvel Cinematic Universe to be fascinating. Just, I know that they have dump trucks of money behind them, but the fact that somebody would take the time, that they're not doing the payoff immediately, that they're taking these movies and then taking TV shows and kind of like knitting and sewing them into the timeline and really creating this large scale arc that we're not even done yet. The Endgame one could be the very end of it to the Avengers movie coming out in a few years. But if you look at, or if you start at the Iron Man movie, the original, and go all the way from here, it is probably the most ambitious like set of films, a cinematic universe in history. And the fact that, you know, there's been a couple of stinkers, but the batting average of the Marvel movies is pretty damn good. Money aside, just as far as quality of movies, if you're into these movies, they haven't really hit a lot of like stinkers. There's been a couple, I'll admit that. But at the same time, if you're not into them, it's damn near impenetrable at this point, because just looking at everything, you've got all of these movies. Even as much as I love it, I will never, ever touch something like Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because that's just too much for me. Even going into the canceled Netflix shows, Jessica Jones, I checked out Jessica Jones and enjoyed it. Iron Fist, Luke Cage, all of those I just couldn't do. And there's just so much to wrap your head around with this.
I'm tired just listening to that.
Yeah. It's daunting, and I totally understand where burnout comes from.
Yeah, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is definitely, it was the natural next step to take, because I think in the 90s and the early 2000s, we were getting a lot of comic book movies, and a lot of them were box office successes, even if some of the quality of some of those movies wasn't that great. I think what they needed to do was, you know, aside from Superman and Batman, which had kind of been the only ones that were really breaking into the movies at the time until the late 90s, early 2000s, was just prove that comic book movies could make money. And once that was pretty well established, then it was, okay, now that we know these can make money, let's take this a step further and try and mimic the comic book universe, but in movie form. So Marvel was very smart to do that, probably one of the best decisions they ever made. And then DC has been playing catch up ever since. And they're just a step behind every single time.
And but I think it was a
fantastic decision.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely, man. But I think that one of the biggest challenges going from the cinematic universe all the way down to Captain America is the tone, because not all of these movies have the same director, producer, staff. So how do you combine all these different characters? Like Doctor Strange and Iron Man are part of the same world, yet you look at the movies and, I mean, they are not the same, right, in tone and style. So starting with Ryan, what did you feel, or how did you feel about the tone of Captain America, the First Avenger?
I felt like the tone was pretty appropriate. It was World War II kind of era. So, you know, when you're talking about an actual war, I think you have to take a bit of a more serious tone, even though you do have a guy who's in a red, white, and blue costume and whatever. But it definitely felt a little bit grittier and more serious than Iron Man, obviously, because the character is all obviously someone who's way more serious than Tony Stark as well. Of course, they had a few kind of lighthearted things going on, because you got to have it still be a fun movie. But for the most part, I think it took on a more serious tone.
I agree, even though the movie does take a very hard shift partway through it, where it's the uphill battle at the beginning, and then halfway through the movie, they win the uphill battle, and it's replaced with a larger hill, where that's when the stakes start getting huge and things start getting out of control, but Captain America overcomes it. And I do think that as the movie goes on, the pace can be a little daunting. Like, it's basically, the first part of the movie is like the incline of a roller coaster. And then once that super serum hits, boy, we're going 100 miles an hour down that loop, and enjoy the next hour and a half of this ride, because we're going places. So yeah, it's hard to keep up at sometimes, especially near the end of the movie.
Yeah, I feel like it's always easy to talk about that roller coaster ride, but I feel like this movie was a ride in itself, like a universal ride. Like, You know who the character is. You know the time period. I mean, talking about Nazis and everything, so many movies have come out about these topics that you kind of know what to expect before you watch the movie. And I feel like at no point is that surprising, right? Like, at no point did I watch the movie and go like, oh my goodness, this happened. It's kind of like you're going through the things. You know, you're going through the paces because you know the character and you know Red Skull, you know the cast, you know little things like that. But knowing what happens in the future movies, I feel like I have to take those into account to be able to appreciate this one more. I feel like with the Captain America movies as a whole, I become very emotionally invested. For people that have not watched the later ones, I mean, certain moments happened that I was literally at the corner of my chair just going like, wow, how is this happening? You know, the tone and style. Keith knows exactly what I'm talking about. And knowing where Steve Rogers came from, like remembering the little kid that was tiny, that he was practically useless.
The awkward CGI of like him in a little body.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that was difficult. That was difficult to do. I was actually looking up information.
The beginning of the movie, it looked the most awkward when he had his shirt off. Like, yeah, it looked like he had like a Harry Potter invisibility cloak and then they like pasted a body over it.
But they didn't reduce his head at all. Yeah. Just a giant head.
I think more so than it looking weird, it's because, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know how Chris Evans looks. I mean, the man looks like a damn near god. So not seeing that, like imagine Triple H, you know, we've been talking about wrestling. Imagine Triple H as we know him, but with Steve Rogers' body. That could happen. You know, maybe not stature-wise, it would just be really freaking weird to see, right? So I think it's breaking that immersion of, I know you're going to be having those pecs and those abs and those biceps, but you don't have that right now. So that looks a little weird there. But why are we talking so much about Chris Evans? Let's move on over.
Let's talk more.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he's amazing. We've talked about the good guy. Let's talk a little bit about the bad guy. And I feel like Hugo Weaving at some point is just part of a cast of the past experience. I mean, talked about Matrix.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, it's Agent Smith.
Yeah. Which we do have the Matrix episode. You can check it out in the archive after leaving that 5-star review and hitting the subscribe
button. Good job,
that's very important.
Good
Thank you.
I gotta get my plugs in, man.
I haven't done them in a while. But talk to me about Red Skull, the character. That's part one. And then part two, Hugo Weaving playing the role of Red Skull.
Well, I'm going to completely destroy that and say at this point, is Hugo Weaving the most discussed actor on our show? He has to be, right?
Probably. I think the magnitude of his character in this is not nearly as big as
Smith.
Isn't
this the only time we've covered an actor who's been in two of the movies we've covered? So he just naturally gets the win. Yeah.
I think so. But no, I think he did a great job as Red Skull in this movie, even though I know a lot of people say that this movie is about Red Skull, and I mean, he is the main antagonist, so that's an easy thing to go with, but to me, this movie is more about Hydra, and establishing Hydra as the main bad guys that would continue in the Captain America movies, because yes, Red Skull is the leader of Hydra, and he does some pretty bad things, but there's just so much development happening with the greater Marvel Universe again, and that's kind of the theme of this movie, just building that greater universe where you have the Tesseract that became the Infinity Stone and Hydra that you would see later in movies. It's less about Red Skull and mostly separating Hydra away from the Nazis, because I think that is a thing that they do quite well in this movie, where yes, it starts out as Hydra is a division of the Nazi regime, and they even bring up Hitler and call him the Führer a couple of times. But by the end of the movie, they do a great job of Hydra being its own organization, its own thing, where you can almost believe in a way that that's why we never heard about Hydra in real life. Like, if they want to kind of weave it into reality, like, oh, okay, that's why this never happened according to the official history books, because Hydra kind of spun out and became its own thing and had nothing to do with the end of the war. And they do a really good job with that. And Red Skull is more of a plot device to move that forward, in my opinion, as good of a job as Hugo Weaving did playing that character.
Yeah, I would second that, Keith, that I think they did do a good job of separating Hydra from like the Nazis and everything. So that way, you know, when they bring Hydra back, it doesn't have to be about that. You know, we can just kind of push that aside. Where once we get beyond the whole World War II thing, then we don't have to worry about all that Nazi stuff. So I think that was a smart decision in how they handled that. As far as Red Skull as a villain, he was probably about as kind of cliche as you can get. Like, oh, I also had the thing that the hero had, but I had a shittier version of it, so I'm not as cool as you, and my face is red, and, oh, well, who is he going to destroy? Or what? Where is he going to destroy?
Everything!
Everywhere! I got my laser beam.
Really, yeah. Really lame line.
Yeah.
What is his target? His target is everything. Yeah. Like, that was a very facepalm moment.
Somebody got paid to put that on a script. Yeah. I'm just going to mention that there.
So it's like, maybe you could give him a pass and be like, well, hey, this is taking place in the 40s, so doesn't it make sense to do like the cliche stuff because it kind of fits with the times and everything? But no, they don't get a free pass on that. Marvel has gotten way, 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 way better with their villains in recent years. So I think this is them, like, you know, they're still getting the hang of things. Marvel's figured it out, but, you know, in today's day. But yeah, they could have done more with Red Skull and everything. I just didn't find him that interesting. He was just kind of standard Marvel villain. They didn't really go above and beyond like they have been recently.
I think the biggest problem I have with Red Skull is you have an actor like Hugo Weaving, but you don't do a lot with him. And I feel like his lines and delivery and overall acting excel.
What do you expect him to do? Or is he supposed to go like, Mr. Rogers, welcome
that would have been
to
bad.
Hydra.
Would have been Mr. Rogers, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's just a matter that I felt like he was so forgettable. Put it this way. I've watched this movie 4 times. 2 of them have been in 3D because I actually have the big Phase 1 collector's thing with like a bunch of things, ID cards and crazy stuff. I watched it in 3D twice, Blu-ray once, and then in the theater. Every single time, I forget that Red Skull is in the movie because I feel like Hydra far exceeds the role of Red Skull. Red Skull feels like a vessel for Hydra rather than, hey, this is a movie about Captain America versus Red Skull. And I feel like, and I guess this is where maybe Ryan's initial complaint comes in, because Red Skull is not treated they don't take advantage of him as much as they should have, he ends up being an afterthought because it doesn't help that, yeah, he's a super traditional villain. Like, you don't even need to read his lines. You look at him and you're like, oh, he's got a skull, red face, he probably talks like this. Yep, he hates everybody, he's a super bad guy. And the fact that on the other side, Steve Rogers comes from being nobody to being an everybody, it just feels like, you know, when you put these things on a scale, it doesn't quite add up. And I thought that they could have done a bit of a better job with that. But I do want to change to something that I feel has gone overlooked with this movie. And I want to get your feedback first. Keith, talk to me about the actual action, because we've talked about the characters. We got those down. You know, we bring up the love story in a couple of minutes, but what did you think of the actual action scenes with the train, with the buddy, with everything that happened?
Kind of two minds on this one, where everything is very cool when they keep it grounded. And I know it's weird to say in a movie about a man with a red skull for a face, but when they go into the World War II action and it's a lot of like real world guns and stuff like that, and Captain America's throwing around his shield and just beating down dudes, it's really cool. But then when they start throwing in the laser guns that disintegrate people, it feels kind of weird, because when you're pitting those two things up against each other, the laser guns that disintegrate people should win 10 times out of 10, but they don't. And that was a little off-putting to me, but the action was cool. The fight scenes, for the most part, were on point. I really, really enjoyed the factory scene up until that weird fight on the bridge at the end between Red Skull and Steve Rogers. That was a bit weird and thrown into me. I guess they just needed a scene for him to take off the mask and, by God, reveal the Red Skull. But beyond that, I would say the action is, it's better. It's, there are more high points than there are low points in the action.
It's fine. Thought the action was fine. Some of the slow motion parts were kind of funny. Like, I found myself kind of laughing when, like, oh, he's jumping off an exploding tank and it's slow motion.
Yeah.
So I did
That's
find
a little
those,
on the lame
yeah,
side.
Those parts, like, were so over the top that I thought they were funny. But yeah, it was cool when he's, like, raiding bases and he's got a shield and he's, like, shooting with his gun. Like, you know, Captain America looks like a badass there. But like Keith said, when it's a little less grounded, then it gets cheesier.
There's just something so damn satisfying about Captain America throwing that shield and it taking out a couple dudes. It's just, oh, God. It's all I want.
Does this shield have friggin' like Thor powers or something? How it always seems to find its way back to him.
It's just a good arc, baby. Captain America's got a good throwing arm.
Ryan, man, he don't apply that much logic. We go up to a point. We just assume just magic
Thor gets
happens.
Gets like an explanation for his. All
He's
right?
a god, Ryan. He is a He's god. He's a literal
yeah,
god.
Exactly. So he should have that power, but I don't think Captain America, like, I don't care how strong you are. You can't make a shield, like, come back like that.
My favorite part, for better or worse, is when they did that little montage. I guess, once again, this is a movie that happened in 1943-ish, right? So they tried to pay tribute to, like, an action montage with, like, old school music of them blowing up the tanks and doing this and doing that and moving around. And it was kind of cheesy at the same time. But when you really think about it, I mean, we're in war, and that's how war was promoted in many times. So I guess it really shouldn't surprise us with the way that they did it. But I thought it was good. I think that when you compare it to the other Captain America movies, this one is definitely on the weaker side. I mean, I think there's no comparison, especially when you talk about the one-on-one fights that happened in the later movies, but it was serviceable. It got the job done. Could they have done a better job? Absolutely. But guess what? They actually did in the later films. But one thing that I'd like to quickly touch up on, just because I feel it's part of the movie, and I want to get your feedback first, Ryan, because I'm really interested in hearing this, the love story. At the very beginning of the movie, we hear that he's not exactly a heartthrob, physically and emotionally speaking. Later, he gets the body. There's the girl, but he doesn't exactly know how to talk to the girl yet. Things unfold. What'd you think of it?
It was fine. I know that's been my answer for, like, two different things. I didn't feel like it was really, really strong relationship. Like I said, they had their interaction. It was kind of just like, oh, because we're working together, we're just kind of automatically, because you're a girl and I'm a guy, we're falling in love. Like I said, they just kind of had that one kind of moment where it's like, oh my God, you were kissing that girl. You're kissing Marjorie from Game of Thrones, and now I'm upset. But then from there, I don't feel like there was that much resistance after that. It was just kind of like, oh, well, I'm gonna have your picture on my, like, thing or whatever.
That was kind of creepy when you kind of think about it,
because they were, like, together. Yeah, exactly. Like, they hadn't, like, established that they were together. But in the end, even though it wasn't the best built up at the end, with the whole ship going down and, like, calling back to the whole dancing thing, it gave you a little bit of the feels. They did a good job of planting some of those seeds. Like, is it the best love story? No, but they did enough to get you a little bit emotional at the end there. So it did its purpose.
He never got that date.
No, he never did. So they certainly did better. You know, there's been far worse love stories told. So they you know, still a better love story than Twilight, to use an old meme.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty low bar.
Yeah.
This is the one aspect of the movie where I wish I was more versed in the comic books, because maybe that's where everything came from. Like, I'm not sure, and if somebody would like to correct me on this one that's listening, I'm more than open to it. If Captain America and Peggy Carter have a relationship in the comic books and it's a love story there, because just having the knowledge of this movie, it seems more of a plot device to introduce Agent Carter into the overall larger MCU, because eventually she goes on to create S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. plays a huge part in the later movies, and then she gets her spin-off TV show of Agent Carter. So from that angle, it just felt like we need her to be in this movie for a reason. Let's make it Captain America's love interest. But there's part of me that feels like I'm wrong with that, and there is a deeper thing in the comics, and that's why it was chosen to be that way. I just don't know enough to know
there's
better.
Another part that doesn't really have a payoff in this, so Ryan would not be maybe the right person to react, although it could also be out of context, is Bucky Barnes. So the man that later on becomes, Keith, what is his name?
He is the Soldier of Winter.
Of the Winter. Exactly. So winter is coming, but it's not in this movie. It's going to be in a future movie, Ryan. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I tried to... Did I do okay with that?
That was good.
Yeah, I tried. Give you partial points.
I tried. Okay, my wife just looked at me like... No, you get no brownie points for that, so let's just keep going there. But I love what happens with him in the other movies, knowing what happens. I thought that they did a fairly poor job at making me just acknowledge the fact that he's a relevant character. Because I know what happens, yet looking at this one, I'm like, I do not make the connections on the screen time. Screen time and significance, like, I get it. He's his friend. He falls. That kind of sucks. What did you think of that?
That is the biggest point of you having to compare this movie versus the meaning in the overall Marvel Cinematic Universe. Because Bucky Barnes as a standalone character in this movie sucks. He just plain out sucks. It's rushed. It doesn't make a lot of sense. By the time you get to the point where you're supposed to feel sad that Bucky's quote unquote dead, you feel nothing for it, just because it feels more of a fumble from character development. Cause like, oh, he's there for a couple minutes in the beginning. Then he's gone for this entire length of the movie. Oh, then he saves Bucky. He's in a montage and boom, he's dead. And moving on, because they don't really spend any time either on his death, which looking back, you can be like, oh, it's because he's not dead. But looking at this in a bubble, it's bad. I would say it's the worst part of this plot.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been your struggle moment for Captain America, where it's like, oh, Bucky, he's dead. Maybe this Captain America thing ain't my style. But he's just kind of
all they
like,
do is saying, I can't get drunk. I don't know
do. He's just like, wow, right. I can't get drunk. All right, I guess we'll do some stuff now. I guess we'll move the plot forward. I know. See, I'm going to probably like trigger people with the... how many Marvel movies I've seen, because I basically have skipped the entire middle of this like story, where it's like I've seen a lot of the phase one stuff and I've seen a lot of the phase three stuff. So I've seen this Bucky character come back, but because I missed the whole middle part, I'm just like, who is that guy?
He just kind of showed up.
Yeah. So I don't worry. I plan to watch the other Captain America movies. I've actually been really wanting to watch Civil War, but I might as well watch Winter Soldier as well.
Winter Soldier, I would say you owe it to yourself to watch Winter Soldier, because it's not one of... I would say it goes beyond being one of the greatest Marvel movies, and it's just a great movie, period.
I've heard a lot of great reviews of it. So don't worry. I plan to see it. I'll get the full picture.
We'll make you with this show if we have to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask that for everybody listening, because the Marvel Cinematic Universe is this just gigantic thing. Would you guys like us to maybe chronologically? We're not saying that this is going to be a monthly thing, because I mean, it's a lot of movies. We want to watch a little bit of everything and play a little bit of everything. But if we were to come back to this, should we chronologically review the movies, or should we sort of pick like, well, we started with Captain America, so let's maybe do all three and then go back? So just let us know. Let us know. We're always open to suggestions. And we do have the Discord, which is acastofthepast.com/Discord. If you don't know what Discord is, it's a chat. We have it divided by topics, so video games, movies, suggestions right now. You guys mentioned suggestions about favorite 90s movies, favorite 90s action movies. And that's something that wasn't even on the table, but it's on the table now. And that's thanks to you, sexy, beautiful people. So the last part that I wanted to mention is obviously the conclusion. We know what is the lead up, right? How do they combine 1943 with like the 2000s? And it's because Captain America, in order to save New York, freezes himself because, you know, he destroys Red Skull in the most anticlimactic kind of crappy way possibly, just wait to end the movie. And then he figures out, hey, there's a lot of explosives here. Things are going to go down. As we mentioned, you know, he was supposed to go on a date. It never happens. He crashes. He freezes himself. And then they try to slowly, and I did appreciate that, just try to slowly get him back, you know, pretending he's still in the, you know, the 1940s, but he quickly picks up on that. So great memory, first of all. He was easily able to recall that. Sees modern day New York. Nick Fury comes in, and this is where the Avengers Initiative really starts to blend in with the movies. What did you think of that conclusion, knowing what's going to happen? Not knowing what we know now, not with the context of the entire movies, but knowing like, oh man, this is the beginning of like, you know, really getting all these characters together. Did you like that?
I mean, that's a hell of a way to set things off. I think the fact that I had forgotten that the entire Captain America movie took place in the 40s. I thought for some reason I forgot that he was not really in modern day until basically Avengers. So just giving you just a little taste of that, and the fact that this is going to be like, you know, the Avengers, this is like the first movie that they've really done something like this, where they've used several other movies about different characters all building up to all the Avengers together. So just the way that they did that, I got to imagine the hype is real at that point, at the time, you know.
This was the last movie leading into that first Avengers movie. If you watch till the end of the credits, there's a trailer for that first Avengers movie. And that, or I think, again, going into this movie versus the overall universe, that's where it succeeds, or going into that Avengers movie, because the entire point of it was tell the origin story of Captain America. Establish that the Infinity Stones are a real thing and they're a threat. You even go as far as establishing the entire plot of the first Avengers movie and the very end of that movie when Red Skull dies, because the same idea that killed Red Skull, which they have a payoff for much, much later, is the exact same premise of how Loki invades New York using the Tesseract. So it's just a bunch of, it's kind of a prequel to the Avengers movie above everything else. And I do think that it was a success just for closing the gap that way. They do it in an elegant way where, yeah, I guess it's kind of weird that, okay, the explanation was he was frozen in a block of ice. That's why he never aged. They don't really spend too much time on it. You're just kind of left to accept it.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I do think they do a very good job of how do we bring this character that made his mark in World War II into the modern age.
So, folks, overall, that has been our quick review of Captain America, the First Avenger. If I were to say, what is the legacy component, knowing what we know now, knowing the expansive thing that is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I say that the legacy that this laid is a proper character selection, proper casting, I should say, for the movies. Because Chris Evans, I can't envision anybody else being Captain America. And I feel like when we go to the DC part, when Christian Bale was cast as Batman, everybody said, oh yeah, you know, same thing, but you forget, like, there have been a lot of other Batmans, but then Ben Affleck came in and people reminded you, oh yeah, so there can be bad Batman with George Clooney and other stuff. So if you
just
don't
hate
cast
that George Clooney
person,
Batman,
it's pretty bad.
I don't even mind the tone of the movie. Yeah. So I thought that the tone was not the worst, but the casting and the script writing was bad. That and Arnold Schwarzenegger, I mean.
The puns.
What can you say?
Chill out.
Get it? Because he's Mr. Freeze. But please let us know what you guys think about this incredible movie by going to social media, twitter.com/acastofthepast. You can find us across all social media. We also post clips of the podcast. So if you guys want to help out in a free way, just share. Just go to Facebook, go to Instagram. Hit that like. It really goes a long way into helping us out. And something else that we'd like to do just very quickly with Mr. Ryan McNulty. We got some facts from kickassfacts.com. I love the website name, kickassfacts.com, about this movie, because I love the fact that we can always get behind the scenes with movies. There's so many rumor mills and things like that. So we got three or four here. Yes, Mr. Conrad Thompson, a.k.a. Ryan McNulty. What you got for us?
All right. First fact. Movie facts. Chris Evans declined the role 3 times before accepting the part. Not out of dislike for the role, but because he feared what the effects of a sudden increase of fame would be on his private life. Then Robert Downey Jr. convinced him to take the part and thus gain the freedom to sign on any other role he'd want to after.
So that's a really big deal, because we haven't talked about video games, merchandise. I mean, one thing is the big screen, but you become Captain America. So I can imagine just him having absolutely no privacy. That's got to be ridiculous.
Well, plus, I mean, this movie came out in 2011. It's 2019, and he's still playing Captain America. Like, you're really signing up for the long haul.
Yeah.
Because of all these intertwined movies. I can see why it would be a problem.
Yeah, I don't blame him because of how big of a commitment it is. But again, like, you look at Robert Downey Jr., this completely revived his career. He was able to do other movies like Tropic Thunder. So Chris Evans, I don't know if I can really name anything he's been in besides this, because I imagine he's done some other movies. But given the fact that, again, it's a huge commitment, because not only are you in your own movies, but sometimes you get to be in the other ones. So it is a lot. All right, we can move on to the next fact. So originally, cameo appearances were planned in the film for Wolverine and Magneto, who were present during World War II. Logan was a soldier, and Magneto was a prisoner of war. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his actual name that it was written here. These cameos were scrapped due to rights issues.
Yes, the old battle between Fox and Marvel.
Yeah, so we got to quickly touch up. We're not experts about this, but Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and the X-Men movies. Yeah, they're properties of Sony. So Marvel is the owner of the characters, but the rights to create movies based on these characters, Marvel does not have them. So historically speaking, even Deadpool in his movies, he's been, poking fun at the fact that, hey, Wolverine's not going to show up. So it always begs the question of how different would these movies be, considering you're missing an entire cast. It's not just Wolverine. You're missing an entire cast of characters. And even going back to Captain America's origin, I remember I used to collect comic books as a kid, and there were comic books that made references to one another, Spider-Man and Wolverine. I mean, that combination is incredible, yet, yeah, I guess we got to wait for Hugh Jackman to figure out whatever Wolverine we're going to get with Spider-Man, whenever that happens, if ever.
All right. This third fact is the best fact ever. Despite being the first Avenger, Captain America was not the first Avenger in the comics. In the comics, Ant-Man, Wasp, Hulk, Iron Man, and Thor were the first ones. Only after Hulk left the team, Captain America joined the Avengers. Nor is Captain America the oldest, as Thor is centuries old. So being the first Avenger, it's just straight up wrong in every way imaginable. I love that.
It's fake news at its finest, folks.
I can imagine, like, the comic book people that are just obsessed with them just going, like, you got the name wrong. You got
the name of the movie. Look, it's just nothing about this is correct.
Yeah, but guys, how do you feel now that we've talked about Captain America? Do you feel excited or scared that, I mean, we're going into the cinematic universe and we can have a podcast that lasts 20 years and I have a feeling we are never going to run out of Marvel movies.
That is a very safe assumption. As long as they keep making dump trucks of money, I feel like there will still be Marvel movies. But I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like we were over, like, this episode to me feels negative in a way that I don't actually feel about this movie, because I'll go to it one last time. The argument of this movie standalone versus this movie in the overall MCU. I think this movie is a fun movie standalone. If you look into it, it's not that deep. It's a pretty fun, shallow, typical popcorn action movie. But when you look at it in the greater grand scale of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I do think it's a very important movie. So it's fun and it's important. Overall, I love the Captain America. I love the Captain America movie, and I love Captain America. I just wanted to say that in case it felt like I was overly negative, or we were overly negative about the product in this one.
And now I'll be overly negative.
No. Wait, now? Oh, so,
yeah. Oh, okay. I'm glad
is that it was a necessary building block of a movie, but I think standalone for me, I don't think I would find myself going back to it after I've seen it. You know, if it worked, if it was a great standalone movie, then it has more rewatchability. But if it's just kind of a building block and then you have the better movies like Winter Soldier, Civil War, the Avengers movies, I feel like upon rewatching some of these, you're going to find yourself going back to those instead of this one. So that's what I'll say. But as a building block movie, it does its job. I don't think it does it as spectacularly as some of the other movies like Iron Man, but it's by no means a bad movie.
And I think it's fair. And I get your point, Keith, but for example, going all the way away from superhero movies, I mentioned Mission Impossible. Those have a bunch of movies, but you can pick whichever you want, and it's a standalone experience, or you could go from all the way at the beginning and then watch each one, and each one has like a little thing, you know, and I feel like with this movie, when it first came out, it was a huge deal, but I mean, think of all the other movies that had yet to come out. Now we know that Infinity War is a thing. Now we know that the Captain America trilogy is a thing. Thor and all the other Thor movies and what's going to be happening. So as time went by, it's not that the movie became worse. I feel like all the other movies became better, right? Because yeah. I don't feel the acting, I don't feel like a lot of the things didn't, they age well. It's just that we've come to expect, and even Ryan, as somebody that has watched, you know, Phase 3 and Phase 1, you said it yourself, dude, like, they became a lot better at storytelling, and that's going to happen. They've had almost an entire decade to have not just Captain America, the character, but Chris Evans playing Captain America, and it's like, oh, he's really good at doing this, he's really good at doing that. Real talk? Maybe somebody in production expected this movie to fail, or maybe Chris Evans not, you know, have it be as good as he was. Because let's be honest, what is the reference that they had before this? You had Fantastic Four. So the bar wasn't even set. Like, there was no bar pretty much. So for everybody watching and listening, I would love to know, first, what did you think of Captain America, the First Avenger? And secondly, which is your favorite standalone Marvel movie? Let's discount the Infinity Wars, the Avengers.
And why is it Spider-Man Homecoming?
Man, I need to watch
Captain America.
I need to watch
that again.
Keith, oh my god, we're losing Keith. No, they snapped him. He's part of
it. Oh no, Mr. Wan, I don't feel so good.
Keith, hold my hand. No. But you know which one I want to watch? Into the Spider-Verse? I haven't watched that yet.
Oh, I need to watch that. I definitely need to watch that.
People say it's like one of the best ones. Actually, that's something I would love to do down the line, an animated Marvel movie. There's a lot of those and a lot of really good ones for Batman. in the DC side of things. So people, rest assured, we got a lot more superhero stuff down the line. But Mr. McNulty, what do we have coming up in the next couple of weeks on A Cast of the Past?
All right. Well, coming up next week, we have Off the Rails, another episode. So Juan on the agenda wrote Off the Rails, the second sequel, which is actually not true at all. This would be the first sequel. So good job on that, Juan. But Anyway, you're going to be able to catch Off the Rails March 17th. You might be asking, what the hell is Off the Rails? Well, that is where literally we hit the record button and we just catch up, talk about things in life, entertainment, media. I'm planning on seeing, you know, speaking of Captain America and the whole reason we're doing this, Captain Marvel coming out. I actually got tickets to go see it this weekend. So maybe I'll be talking about that on Off the Rails. No spoilers, of course. It's a new movie. But anyway, that is March 17th. Then on March 24th, we're going to be covering Pokemon Snap for the Nintendo 64. And this is our first dive into the Pokemon universe with an N64 classic that doesn't get talked about enough when people want to demand a sequel. And then finally, on the March 31st? It just says the 31st. I'm assuming it's March 31st.
I think it is.
Sorry, I'm reading the agenda. You'll see on the screen on the video version, it will be nicely displayed because I was the one who did the editing. But we're going to be covering underrated video games. It's going to be a discussion that may lead to something in the future. So we're going to be talking about some games we think are underrated, possibly around the PS2, Xbox, GameCube era, and more on that soon.
Yeah. So, Keith, how you feel about the upcoming episodes? You ready, my friend?
I'm feeling good about them. I'm left wondering if in Pokemon Snap, if somebody snaps their fingers, does the Pokedex become a hunt? Nope, that would be 75. Would there be 75 Pokemon once somebody snaps their fingers?
He's trying to do math in his head real
Keith,
quick.
I saw it in his eyes. He had like a little tick, just like, nope, this isn't happening. Yep. But I'm already saying
math's
it.
Wrong. So exactly. The words are leaving my mouth. I'm committed to this,
so I got to finish it.
But I guess we will find out, Keith, on another exciting episode of A Cast
to the Past.
Oh,
it was a little. See, we have more subtle version
with like, oh yeah,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
A special way to close get things that, off.
Get that cast in that past.
Okay, we're done. Yeah. End of the show.